Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, it's nearly here, isn't it? It's nearly upon us. And hasn't the scene been so beautifully set for us this morning? It's so lovely to be able to sing carols and praise God in this way. Many of us here, and a lot more people at home because of the situation we find ourselves in again at the moment. But we can praise God no matter where we are because he's with us, which is wonderful. This year in the Church of England, they've had a theme for Christmas. I don't know if you've come across it. I've been listening to a little app every morning, and it's called The Heart of Christmas. The Heart of Christmas. We know what that is, don't we? The heart of Christmas is Jesus. But goodness me, don't we get busy at Christmas time? I know some of you will be very organised and have got everything wrapped and everything done, and that's wonderful. But many others will be like me, who've got loads of stuff still to do, and sometimes I'm not sure where to start. But either way, it's important, isn't it? Not just to find time to be with God, but to make time to be with Jesus and to remember his coming and all that he's done for us. And then to look forward because he's coming again. And no matter what's happening in the world, it's still Christmas and we're still celebrating Jesus. Jesus is God's redemption plan for all of us. And you know, this was God's plan from the very beginning. And as we've lit our Advent candles each week, we've thought about that plan emerging through history. We remember the patriarchs of the faith, the prophets. We remember John the Baptist, and now Mary, all leading to that wonderful coming. God himself came among us in Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. He came as a tiny baby, and that's what we celebrate in this season. And his coming changed the world. And it continues to do that. The first thing it did was change the calendar, didn't it? We went from BC to AD suddenly. But more than that, it changed and it continues to change individual lives right through the centuries and today, which in turn can change the world. Every year when I read this wonderful story, I always ask God to show me new things to consider in it that perhaps I haven't considered before. And I often think, I don't know what he's going to tell me this year. There's been so many Christmases I've asked that. But you know, there always is. There always is something just to consider a little bit more and draw closer. Do you think about the human heroes in this story? Because they're interesting people, aren't they? There's Mary, there's Joseph, there's the shepherds, there's the wise men. What remarkable faith and trust in God they showed. Let's consider them briefly and start with Mary. Did her life change when she met Jesus? Well, it did rather, didn't it? Her life was turned upside down. Here she is, a young girl, living a good life, looking forward to her marriage, and then boom, an angel came. In our house group, we've been studying this leading up to Christmas. It's called A Child is Born. And there was just a lovely bit that I read, well, it was read out to us, and I thought I'd like to use that this morning. And it's written from Mary's perspective. So this is Mary speaking. I have a secret. It wants to explode out of me, but I'm too scared. I met an angel, but that's not the secret. Something's going to happen. He told me. It might have already happened. I don't even know. I can't feel it, but I won't be able to hide it for long. Who will believe me? A holy child? It's the last thing they'll call him. Why would my God come to me? I said I was at his service. I've always said I'd do whatever would please him, but I never thought for a moment. I mean, who would think he would ask for this? How could I imagine God's son carried to earth like this, 40 weeks or thereabouts? I will have to wait and see, to see if what the messenger said was true. How many symptoms will make me believe it? How large will I have to grow? Nothing will be impossible with God, he said. Well, this would certainly prove it. Is the time finally here? After all these generations, I thought it was still a distant hope. Will this be the one we've been waiting for? And what if he actually is the one? How will I protect him? How can I teach him anything? How will I know what to do? Oh, deep breaths, Mary. One day at a time. Just one day. Nothing will be impossible with God, the angel said. Except maybe waiting to see what happens next. And then raising a child who is God. How will I do that? And why on earth did I tell him I would? I love that. It's so human, isn't it? So incredibly human. Mary gave all of her life to caring for Jesus from then on. We often read the words, don't we? Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. We know how life turned out for Mary. We don't have details, but we see her concern when she lost Jesus when he was 12. We see her concern for him as he preached and healed and gave so much of himself to others, not even having time to eat. We see her grief at the cross. We don't read any more about her, but I'm sure she will have continued to love and praise God all her days in the care of the Apostle John. And then Joseph. Can you imagine how it was for him? Can you imagine the conversation with Mary? Joseph, I'm going to have God's baby. What? You can imagine how that might have gone on. But we do read, don't we, that Joseph was a good man. We heard that in the reading. And he cared. He wasn't going to disgrace Mary. He was going to dissolve the agreement quietly. That is, until he heard from God too. And obeyed him. And trusted him. And became the earthly father of Jesus. We don't read much more about him. But we know he loved and cared for Mary and Jesus and kept them safe. So did his life change when he met Jesus? Well, yes, it did. And then about those shepherds that we've just so beautifully heard about, going about their normal work on a hillside near Bethlehem one night. All was quiet, and then angels again. Interesting that when the angels appear, they always start by saying, don't be afraid. I think it would have been a little bit scary. Interesting that God chose shepherds, isn't it? The most lowly of men to hear first. Remember what Jesus called himself in John 10? I am the good shepherd. A bit of a connection there. The shepherds didn't sit and discuss this strange happening. They just got up and went. They trusted God and they found Jesus. Were their lives changed when they met Jesus? I should think they'd never be the same again. And then there's the wise men. It's difficult to imagine why they set off at all. A very strange story. I'm going to have another little read from this lovely book. And this is from one of the wise men's perspective. What made us set off? I don't know. A thirst for adventure? A longing for knowledge? A deep conviction that this particular alignment of the planets must mean the birth of regal power? We felt the king of Judeans would be a king worth knowing. Whatever your faith or religion, a messiah would certainly be of interest regardless of your persuasion. I worship the all-wise God, but he doesn't dwell here with us. If we were to send an envoy, it would change everything. The unusual combination of stars certainly seemed to suggest something along those lines. We didn't all go, just those of us who were most keen. I think it would be fair to say it was those of us who felt that we still hadn't found what we'd spent so many years looking for, that there was a piece of the puzzle missing. What did we have to lose? We headed in the direction suggested by the sky and asked for the palace when we got close. We felt a rising excitement with every day that passed. We may have been tired, but our pilgrimage was filled with hope about who we would find beneath the X on the treasure map. They just went, and they searched, and they found. And what they found will have changed them forever. I always think it's interesting that they brought the right gifts, because they're not normal gifts, are they, for a baby? But somehow, they brought gold for a king. They brought frankincense for a priest. They brought myrrh for death. God was working in their lives. They heard God in a dream, warning them about Herod. We don't hear of them again, but we can be sure their lives changed when they met Jesus that day. So that brings us to us, ourselves, this Christmas. Are we part of this story? Have our lives been changed by Jesus? Is he the heart of our Christmas this year? For most of us, he will be. But I just want to say, if he isn't at the very heart of your Christmas, he can be. He can be, and he wants to be. And he wants to bring you a deep joy and a love and forgiveness for all that's gone before. We just need to come to him and ask him to come to us, because he really wants to. And for us who know he is at the center of our lives, let's ask him to show us more, to draw close to him, and to walk through this Christmas with him every bit, and then on and on, forevermore, because nothing is better than walking every day of your life with Jesus. It never ends. Will we trust him and do anything he asks of us, like Mary? Can we trust and act like Joseph did? Can we obey like the shepherds? And can we search for him like the wise men? May God bless and keep you this Christmas as we celebrate. Amen.